Hello, this is Roger Molina on Creative Disturbance, and I'm delighted today to be with Pamela Grant Ryan here in the home of Sheila Pinkel in Los Angeles. And Pam, you've been the managing editor of Leonardo now since 1983. We've worked together for 32 years. Together. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we're going to chat about 30 years of managing Leonardo.
Well, I did come from scientific publishing. I worked at the Franklin Institute in Philadelphia for about 7 years. We were publishing first biomedical abstracts, and then I worked on a team of nuclear engineers publishing reports on nuclear power plants. They were somewhat scary at times. Fun reading all this behind the scenes problems that were going on in our nuclear power plants. Then I took a break from that in about 1982. I left my job. I went to the islands to be a rock star. Unfortunately, that didn't exactly work out. So I moved to California. And
I guess that's where we connected. So my father had died in 1981. He was the founding editor of the Leonardo Journal in Paris. My family made the decision to try and keep this journal going, and we moved it to San Francisco. And that's where we hooked up. And so you were hired in September of 1983?
That's right. It was just shortly after I had moved to San Francisco. I totally lucked out. It was the first job I got when I landed in the Bay Area, and it's really been a keeper.
And the reason we were at San Francisco, as you remember, is Steve Wilson, the late Steve Wilson, a good friend of ours, happened to be a young professor at San Francisco State University working with Brian Rogers. And Steve had an article going through in publication in 1982, and he learned that we were not sure what to do, and he and Brian invited us to San Francisco State. So tell us a little bit about what you remember your beginning work to be.
Well, it was actually an intriguing change from the more technical work I had done before in biomedical and in the nuclear engineering. It was just one thing that has always fascinated me about working for Leonardo is that we highlight articles written by artists. And artists don't always write. Sometimes we have to encourage them. But just getting that insight into the mind of the artist, it's one thing to look at an artwork, and it may inspire things in your own mind, bring things up. But to have the artist then write about what he or she was thinking, how he or she was working, I just have always found that the most fascinating thing.
And I know one of the areas that you've always been interested in is artists with socially engaged practices of various kinds, whose work kind of fits in with a bigger picture of what they're about and the society they live in. Any examples come to mind?
Well, one of the prime examples is Sheila Pinkel, whose living room we're sitting in right now. She published with Leonardo a special issue on social consciousness. I believe that was in the early 90s, perhaps, and she had a wonderful array of artists working with social issues. And I would say, if anything, over the years, the proportion of artists working with social issues and also environmental issues has continued to grow. I would say that what we publish is more and more socially relevant.
Yeah, and obviously recently we've published Helen and Newton Harrison, and Andrea Polly has published. So a number of artists involved in issues around climate change. We've been working with Ricardo Del Fara on the Balance on Balance conference documentation. And so indeed that is an area that I think I would agree with you, and in part thanks to your interest has developed. I thought it might be fun to chat about a few people that you worked with closely over the years. And one name that popped to mind was a member of our editorial board who also published in Leonardo. You probably know who I'm talking about, Rudy Arnheim. Do you want to just talk about Rudy a little bit?
Well, that has been a really one of the great opportunities I've had in my publishing career was to work with him. Rudolf Arnheim is a very well-known name in art and theories of perception, and over many years we corresponded, and he told me, call me Rudy. We always really loved working together. We started sharing about family members, and it was very heartfelt, and I was very sorry to lose Rudy.
But I had to intervene a couple of times because he objected to your red pencil and any editing of his perfect prose.
Well, we ended up working it out, especially as the years went by and a trust grew there. So, in the end, I think he was okay with what we did.
1986 turns out to be a really important year for a number of reasons. One of the things that was happening is we were coming up on our 20th anniversary, and I think you went to Paris for 6 weeks. Tell us about that trip and who you met with and how that informed your thinking.
Well, that was a wonderful opportunity for me to get a historical perspective on what had gone before. Certainly, I'd heard a lot of stories about Frank Molina and the beginnings of Leonardo. It was a wonderful opportunity. I stayed with your mom, Roger, Marjorie Molina, and I got to know George Agostan a bit, who was, along with Frank Molina, one of the main editors of Leonardo Journal. I did get to interview a number of people who had been involved, Pauline Kohler and
Kofler, yeah.
Kofler, and I'm sorry, I'm terrible with names, but
Holly Massey, probably, and
I'm not sure if I met with Holly,
yeah.
but I did interview a number of people, and I wrote an article coming out of that trip that was featured in the 20th anniversary issue, so listeners who are interested can go to the article, find out everything I learned.
One of the interesting things that we chatted about is obviously that was before the fall of the Iron Curtain. And one of the things that we, and this was pre-internet age too, we were in touch with all kinds of interesting people. Do you want to just talk about the Soviet Union and China?
Well, that was something I thought was very amazing that Frank Molina had somehow managed to cobble together an international editorial board, and he was able to find contacts in Russia and in China. And I do remember I loved when the mail would come every day because we would get packages from all over the world, and the packages coming from China and Russia were especially interesting. It was just clear, for one thing, how it was such a non-commercial society that they reused every scrap of string and paper. Packages were wrapped in cereal boxes with all these marvelous stamps on them.
I guess that the two key people there in Russia, actually in Kazan, Uzbekistan, was,
Bulat Galeyev.
yeah, who died a few years, unfortunately. We got to meet him after the fall of the Iron Curtain,
That's right. He came to San Francisco and met with us. That was wonderful.
which is sort of, really striking. And then the person in China was
Was Lin Xiaoping.
Who actually got appointed by the official artist union in China. So he was an official Communist Party representative to our editorial board, but he helped us find authors in China. Any other sort of anecdotes from that period?
Well, the pre-internet age, it's just really striking to me, having worked on Leonardo before and after. I do remember the early days of desktop publishing. That was a big learning experience, but I do remember working with I was a member of our board of directors at the time, Rick Wilson, who was doing our desktop publishing.
And we were really early adopters of desktop
We
publishing.
certainly were,
Because
and
we used the program was called what was it called?
PageMaker,
Yeah, which came
PageMaker.
out in 85, 86, I think, for
Right.
the PC.
And I remember at the 11th hour trying to get this an issue to press, and there was still a nagging reference that we had not been able to find anywhere, and I would be calling libraries in France and in England, and somehow we always got that page number that we needed for the reference.
Right, so it's sort of interesting, as you say, two major things. One is pre-internet, the editorial office was a hub of communication with people all over the planet. We tend to think the internet made a huge difference, but already as an editor, you were in touch with authors in dozens of countries. And then obviously the introduction of desktop publishing, which was triggered a whole wave of changes in the way that scholarly publishing is done. We opened our first website, I think we were one of the first few hundred websites on the web in '94, I think. Ray Lauzana brought Fine Art Forum to us in '87, '88, I think, and we started that electronic newsletter. Pre-internet, it was DARPAnet or something, or IP Sharp, I forget where we sent that out. And of course, now, and our listeners may not know, Leonardo is essentially an online publication. 99.9% of our readers have never seen a copy of the journal. It's an amazing transformation during your career.
Well, I have to say that I really credit you, Roger, for always pushing the envelope and more or less dragging me along behind. But yeah, we've been at the forefront and a lot of changes in publishing and communication and art and science and technology.
Would you say that in terms of the content of what we publish, those technological changes have changed the nature of the articles, or?
Well, certainly the articles have changed. I think that in some ways, in previous decades, there was more technical stuff being published in Leonardo because it was new, and people were publishing their technological findings. And as technology becomes more and more ubiquitous, I find that the articles, I think from a general reader standpoint, actually are more interesting because the technology has gotten seamless and the artist's ideas, I think, are really just so rich. And I think in terms of a general readership that our articles are probably more interesting now than ever.
So Pam, we're going to have to wrap this up. We have maybe a couple of minutes left. It's been a pleasure working with you for 32 years.
Well, that feeling is likewise,
And
Roger.
obviously I look forward to continuing to be in touch. I know you've agreed to work on some special projects maybe next year. And obviously the whole Leonardo community has a great debt to you and your investment of your time, energy, ideas, personality. So thank you, Pam, and congratulations.
Well, thank you, Roger. It has been such an honor and a gift and a joy these 32 years of working with Leonardo.
Thank you, Pam. And to our listeners on Creative Disturbance, please go pick up a paper copy of Leonardo and check it out. Thank you.